I want to briefly this evening discuss a few thoughts with regard to the Makkah of Choshech, as found in this week's parasha. So, to begin with, there is a very, very puzzling medrash that so many Mefarshim from the Kedushas Levi down to contemporary Bala Machshava are bothered by. And that is the following. The Pasuk we know says in Parshas Bo, Perek Yud, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Well, first comes Pasuk Chaf Aleph, where God tells Moshe, stretch your arm out over the heavens, and let there be choshech al eretz Mitzrayim, v'yamesh choshech, v'yamesh choshech. So v'yamesh, Rashi says, means that the darkness should even intensify more than usual. And then Rashi cites a medrash that implies that this was a tangible darkness. It was a darkness that wasn't just an absence of light, but it was a thickness. It was almost as if you could feel it. A very unusual type of darkness. And the Pasuk then says that Moshe did just that. Vayet Moshe es yado al hashamayim. Moshe stretches his hand out towards the heavens. Vayhi choshech afela b'chol eretz Mitzrayim shloshes yamim. And there was a darkness, afela, thick darkness, in all of Eretz Mitzrayim for 3 days. So the Medrash, which is so, so puzzling, says the following. Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Bo, Yud Dalet Beis. Says the Medrash, Meheichen hoya ha-choshech ahu. Where did this choshech come from? Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Nechemya. Machlokas Tanoim, two opinions. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Michoshech shel mala. This was a heavenly darkness. And to support his contention, Rabbi Yehuda cites a pasuk in Tehillim, Yud Ches Yud Beis, where the pasuk says, Yoshes Choshech Sisro Svivosov Sukaso, that God places darkness as his concealment around his sukkah, around his heavenly abode, is this darkness that God places around him. So says Rabbi Yehuda, hi, you see that there is darkness up in Shemayim, and therefore this darkness of Makas Mitzrayim is Mechoshech Shalmal. It's from this darkness of the heavens. And Rabbi Nechemiah says, no, Mechoshech Shal Gehenim. This was a Choshech of Gehenim. A very puzzling medrash. If you had to seek to associate the darkness of Mitzrayim with some other form of darkness, instinctively, you would assume, oh, it's the Choshech of Gehenim. This is the worst, most horrific darkness that you can possibly imagine. For 3 days, the Pasuk says, Lo ra'u ish es achiv, v'lo kamu ish mitachtav shlosh es yamim. For 3 days, they couldn't see one another. They couldn't even stand up. Because, as we said before from the Chazal, this was a thick darkness. They couldn't move. They couldn't move. Rashi comments on that pasuk first for 3 days, they just couldn't see one another. Then for the next 3 days, says Rashi, it became so thick that they couldn't move. If they were sitting, they couldn't stand. If they were standing, they couldn't sit. So if I had to choose an association between this darkness of Mitzrayim and some other form of darkness, I would have said instinctively, Ach, choshech shel gehenim, this is a gehenim if I could think of one. But what's Pshat Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says this was a Choshech Shalmala, this had something to do with the Choshech Shalmala. Very, very, very puzzling. Very puzzling. Choshech Shalmala you would associate with a heavenly blessing of some sorts. Divine darkness sounds like a very positive attribute. So what's Pshat in the Medrash? Now the truth is, some of the Sifrei Chassidus point out with different degrees of interpretation, but the Kedushas Levi of Berditchev, the Shem Yishmul of Sachetchev, They both point out that if you look in the Psukim, there does seem to be in this Makas Choshech, on the one hand, a terrible Makkah for the Mitzriim. L'roish es achiv, l'kamu es mitachtav, shlosh es yamim. They couldn't see one another for 3 days. They couldn't move for 3 days. This was, on the one hand, a very terrible Makas Choshech for the Mitzriim. Mitzat Sheni, what does the Pasuk then say? It says also, ulechol b'nei Yisrael haya or b'moshvo sam. For all of Israel, this was light. What is that all about? So Rashi there tells us that the Choshech didn't just serve to punish the Egyptians. The Choshech also was a tremendous blessing in disguise for the Jews. How so? So one of the interpretations Rashi gives is because Shechipsu Yisrael, the Jews had the opportunity to enter into the Egyptian homes. They could search and look unimpeded. Veros Kalem, they could rifle through all of the Egyptian belongings and furniture and drawers. Ukshiyatsu, and then when the Jews were leaving, Vayishol and Mehen, they were asked the Egyptians to hand over this, hand over that. Vayomrim, the Egyptians said, Ein v'yadeinu klum, we don't have anything. Ah, the Jews said, what do you mean? Ani ra'isa b'beisecha, I saw it, I was there, it's in this drawer, it's in that closet. So the psukim Rashi cites are also alluding to the fact that there was a bracha here in this choshech for the Bnei Yisrael. For the Bnei Yisrael. So, for that reason, Yitzhak Levi, Shem Yishmuel, note that in the psukim themselves, in that very same pasuk, that same pasuk which says, Lo ro'u ish es achiv, v'lo kamu ish mitachtov, shlosh es yamim, the second half of the pasuk is ulechol bnei Yisrael hayar b'moshvo sam. So this darkness that the one time and one on the one hand was a terrible makkah for the Mitzrayim. On the other hand, it was at the very same time, or for bnei Yisrael, it was a blessing for bnei Yisrael. So perhaps the Medrash is reflecting those two components of this makas choshech. On the one hand, there was michoshech shel gehenim, that's for the Egyptians. Mitzad sheni, it's michoshech shel mala, it was a heavenly choshech, that's for the Bnei Yisrael. Nonetheless, I want to share with you a fascinating, beautiful interpretation, more of a contemporary interpretation, to explain what is meant, perhaps, by this comment in the Medrash that this was a Choshech Shel Mala. And this is a beautiful, beautiful suggestion that Rabbi Norman Lamb once offered in a drasha that he gave. Seems like it goes back to 1959. Beautiful, beautiful homiletic interpretation. Beautiful insight. He says the following. He says, instinctively, the misery of Choshech for the Egyptians was lo ra'u ish es achiv. They couldn't interact. They couldn't see one another. When you're stuck in solitude for 3 days, or according to Rashi, for a total of 6 days, the quarantine, to use a contemporary word, the solitude, the isolation, is it's terrible, it's miserable, it's torture. In that sense, this choshech of lo ro'u ish es achiv, v'lo kamu ish mitachtav, is michoshech shel gehenim. It's the worst type of suffering. The worst type of suffering. Nonetheless, suggests Rabbi Lam as follows. Perhaps what Rabbi Yehuda is telling us when he says this was Michoshech Shel Mala, and he cites the Pasuk in Tehillim, Yoshes Choshech Sisro, that God has the Choshech around him. Why is darkness associated with Ribbono Shel Olam? If it's such a miserable Makkah, perhaps, suggests Rabbi Lamb, the Choshech that represents solitude, which on the one hand, can become a terrible curse and makkah as it was for the Egyptians. At the same time, there are instances when one can view such solitude as divine in nature, as even, if you will, a blessing. How so? Because solitude and even loneliness can be used on occasion constructively, in a positive way. So often, the creativity of a person is generated and enhanced when it is preceded by some alone time to think, to process, to contemplate. And so too, even in a ruchnius sense, we know that Hasidim speak of his bodidus as being a very critical quality that is necessary for spiritual growth. What is his bodidus? His bodidus is a person leaves the world around him, retreats into his own private world in solitude with only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no one else. In fact, if you read the introduction to the commentary of the Vilna Gaon on Shulchan Aruch, written by his own sons, they say how the Vilna Gaon himself would at times walk off into the woods surrounding Vilna to engage in his bodhidus, to be alone with his thoughts, presumably to learn or to perhaps commune in some way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they say that on one occasion he got so, I'm not sure if distracted is the right word, but got so carried off into a different world of sorts that he didn't even notice the passage of time. He was carried off, so to speak, in that world of his bodhidus of his for an extended period of time without realizing how much time had passed. And in that sense, the hisbodidus, the loneliness, which is represented here, suggests Rabbi Lam, by choshech, by solitude, can be at times utilized in a constructive fashion. In a constructive fashion. Perhaps one might therefore argue that the Ulechol B'nei Yisrael Hayor B'moshvo Sam might allude to this idea. When you utilize alone time, some time alone, for a constructive ruchnius contemplation and introspection, that brings you to a greater ore of ruchnius in your life, that enables you to therefore attain a greater madrega in one's ruchnius. Rabbi Lam points to a remarkable comment of the Abarbanel. Beautiful. The Abarbanel asks on the most famous Mishnah, perhaps in all of Shas, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe received Torah miSinai. Now, if you were writing that line, if I was writing that line, and we were trying to communicate that message, that Moshe was the first in the link of the Mesorah, and he received the Torah from, well, who did he get it from? The mountain didn't give it to him. God gave it to him. I would have written, says the Abarbanel, Moshe kibel Torah, me'akadosh baruch hu. Or Moshe kibel Torah bisSinai. Moshe received Torah on Sinai. Why does the Mishnah say Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, from Sinai? That seems to be incorrect. It's God who gave Moshe the Torah on Sinai, or at Sinai. So either say Moshe kibel Torah me'akadosh baruch hu, or say Moshe kibel Torah bisSinai. Why Moshe kibel Torah miSinai? So asks the Abarbanel. Beautiful question. And he answers as follows. It says like this. He says, we know everyone else receives their chachma from other people. One person learns from another, one person teaches another. Says Abarbanel, Moshe Rabbeinu we know is different. No person taught him his Torah. He didn't receive Torah from a Basav Adam. Rather, Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo, says Abarbanel, infused Moshe with this wisdom, this Chachma. And when the Mishnah says Moshe kibal Torah mi Sinai. What does that mean? Says Abarbanel. So listen to his words. Rotsa lomer, that means, he says, mitoch hisbodeduso shama. As a result of Moshe's hisbodedus, as a result of his, you can call it isolation, call it solitude, call it alone time, call it quiet contemplation. It was his hisbodedus on Sinai, mibli maichol amishtah, no food, no drink, we know 40 days, he detached himself from his physical needs. Kol osam yemei hadvekus. Those were days of dvekus, says Abarbanel. And then the transmission of Torah went man to man. Beautiful pshat. He says, why Moshe kibal Torah misinai? Because what enabled him to become worthy of receiving transmission of Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was from those qualities that he had at Sinai. The lack of machol, the lack of mishteh. No food, no drink, just his bodhidus alone. Spiritual contemplation, spiritual solitude. So suggests the Abarbanel pshat in the Mishnah. Which Rabbi Lam then suggests as well, simply underscores this very point. That the solitude is not necessarily and always a curse, but sometimes, in some circumstances, when utilized properly, when appreciated properly, some quiet contemplation is beneficial for one's spiritual growth. Interesting suggestion. Moving on from that machshava, from that musar, a few other interpretations here to offer with regard to the makom choshech. So just to suggest first and foremost, it's a very interesting pshat quoted by the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer asks, there's pasuk pshat in the pasuk, pasuk pshat. Moving on from the Medrash now. Chassam Sofer asks, why was choshech necessary? We quoted that there was darkness. It wasn't just darkness, it was a tangible darkness. The Chassam Sofer asks, we have a precedent in Sefer Bereishis to a similar type of makkah, if you will, of being unable to see. What's that precedent? The precedent, if you think back to Parashas Vayera. What's the precedent of Parashas Vayera? Oh, right, Hikav HaSanverim. The Anshei Sodom are surrounding the home of Lot, demanding that he hand over the guests who just arrived at his home overnight. And the Malachim gather Lot inside, they close the door, and the men of Sodom, Hikav HaSanverim, they strike them with blindness. So Chassam Sofer asks, so it's a very simple, if you will, quote-unquote simple, means to achieve the objective here. Why was it necessary to create this new creation of darkness that is tangible, not just an absence of light, but an actual creation of darkness? If you want them to not to see anything, so just strike them with blindness. So writes the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes, interestingly enough, that when a person is blind, so he is, as a result of the blindness, forced to rely upon his other senses more so than before. His sense of hearing becomes enhanced, for example. Perhaps his memory, his other senses that he now has to rely upon more so than others, become much more fine-tuned. The Chassam Sofer writes that Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want to have the Mitzrayim gain any sort of benefit whatsoever in any which way from this makkah. So therefore, he struck them not with blindness, but with darkness. When there's darkness, on the contrary, you strain to see. you struggle to see, and you can't see. So not only will the hearing not be enhanced or the other senses be fine-tuned, but even the eyesight itself will be strained as a result of that strenuous effort in the choshech that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about. Sefer Paras Yosef, who cites this Chasam Sofer, then cites two other beautiful, and in some cases perhaps very well-known, Musar thoughts as well. The pasuk we've been quoting says, Lo ro ishes achiv, that for those 3 days, no man saw his brother. So this is a famous, famous thought that appears in many Sefer Chasidus. Here the Paras Yosef cites it from Sefer Eshkol Anovim. Not familiar with the authorship of that Sefer, but he cites it from Sefer Eshkol Anovim. And he says, the greatest darkness in the world is Lo ro ishes achiv, when no one has an interest in seeing the other. When each person wants to live alone with no interest in the life of someone else. That, he says, is choshech al pnei sevel. That is darkness upon the world. When darkness descends upon the world, he says that is perhaps what is meant by this idea of lo ro ishes achiv. Because the greatest darkness is when one person has no interest in the other. No one has an interest in how someone else is fearing. Each person just thinks about himself and lives in his own world, his own cocoon. You know, these past 9 months, I think, certainly have lent themselves to these kinds of lessons. On the one hand, we've seen the difficulty of isolation, of solitude, of people who are sadly forced to live alone with very little interaction, some less than others, with the people around them. And this is a makkah, there's no question. A makkah that is so difficult to tolerate, of lo ro ishes achiv, of not being able to interact with others. At the same time, if no one else expresses concern and interest in those individuals, that's a terrible choshech too, that no one else expresses interest in how someone else is fearing, how someone else is doing. The inability to interact with others is a terrible makkah, and when perhaps one has no interest in inquiring about the other, that's also a terrible form of choshech. At the same time, as we mentioned earlier, sometimes a little bit of solitude can be utilized in a constructive way. And I'm not in any way seeking to belittle or diminish the challenges of the past 9-10 months. But sometimes, a little bit of solitude in small measures is something we can utilize properly and constructively to focus and hone one's own spiritual growth. So Paras Yosef then cites another beautiful interpretation. The pasuk we mentioned before, that same pasuk, "Ulechol bnei Yisrael hayor b'moshvosam." What does that mean? All of bnei Yisrael enjoyed light. So Sefer Paras Yosef writes as follows. He says the Gemara in Beitza Daf Lamed Beis tells us, "Hametzape l'shulchan acherim." If someone's always looking for, anticipating, wishing for someone else's table, what someone else has. Listen to the words the Gemara uses. Olam chashuch ba'ado. The world becomes a very dark place for him. If someone's life is all about looking what someone else has and craving that, he is mitzapel l'shulchan achem. When will I have what he has? When will I make the salary he makes? When will I have that job that he has? If someone's life is all about mitzapel l'shulchan acherim, just anticipating, yearning for, craving for, desperate for someone else's table, olam chashuch ba'ado. The world becomes a very dark place for him. Gloomy, frustrating, unfulfilled, because you never ever satisfy what you have. You're always looking to have that which you can't, that which you don't, which is what someone else has. Dafka, one who sits at his own table, or low? Is it light for him? This is a Gemara in Beitza on Daf Lamed Beis. Amid Beis, the Dafka, when one is not looking at someone else's table, but rather focusing only on his own table, then or low, then rather than an Olam Choshech Bado, it's light for him. Then he appreciates, he enjoys what he has because he's grateful for his own blessings. Says Sefer Paras Yosef, that's in the Pasuk. For 3 days, the Egyptians couldn't see one another. They couldn't stand up, they couldn't sit down. But the Bnei Yisrael, when you focus on what you have, not ro ishas achiv, and instead of looking at someone else, you're looking at yourself, and you're focusing on what you have, then you have or b'moshvosam, the moshvosam in your home. The or can be found in your home. The or is found when you focus on what you have, not what someone else has. That also says, Parashat Yosef is the Musar here, Chol b'nei Yisrael hayu or b'moshvosam, or can be found in your home by looking at what you have and appreciating that. And finally, one last thought on the story of Makas Choshech. We saw already in our discussion this evening that the Egyptians could not see anything, they couldn't move even, whereas the Jews could see everything. They were able to enter into Egyptian homes, search through their belongings, see what they had, see where they hid what they hid. And when the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim came, God promised Avram, they'll go with the Rechush Gadol. And God said, please, B'nai Yisrael, ask from the Egyptians, Klechesef, Klezav, borrow, ask, V'shala Yishem Eshchenta, because I don't want Avram, Avinu, Kaviyachot, to say that you didn't fulfill that part of the promise. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'dafka wanted the B'nai Yisrael to take from the Egyptians that which they saw that they had in order to fulfill the promise of Va'achrechein Yetzer B'chush Gadol. That was part of the plan. Not just the Golos, but the Va'achrechein Yetzer B'chush Gadol. That was all part of the plan from the beginning, that they should leave with the B'chush Gadol. And that's why the Pasuk says in this week's Parsha, Perek Yud Aleph, Dabrar Na B'aznei Ha'am. God asks Moshe, please tell the people, V'yishalu ish me'esrei eyu, v'isha me'esrei usa, klei chesef uklei zav. They should request from one another, from the Egyptians, gold and silver. And why Dabar Na, Rashi says, because God is asking Moshe Rabbeinu, please tell them, I don't want Avraham Avinu to complain, so to speak, that all I did was I fulfilled the promise of the Avdus, but I didn't fulfill the promise of the V'achrechein Yetzer B'chush Gadol. And therefore I'm asking you, please make sure you take with you on your way out. So the Baba Shrebi Zatzal suggested as follows. He says, in Sefer Chasidus, we find that the Rechush Gadol that Klal Yisrael took from Mitzrayim represents the sparks of Kedusha the Jewish nation is supposed to find and take with them in Golos. Which might mean, some suggest, that in every Golos that we have endured throughout the history of our Golos since Churban Bayis, we are supposed to take and learn from the positive in each and every society that we've been through. The Milo of each society that we've lived in throughout our Golos, we're supposed to find and extract from each Golos that nitzotz of Kedusha, that little spark of worthwhile life lesson, if you will, or worthwhile midah to take with us. And that is what is represented by the Rechush Gadol taken from Mitzrayim. To take from the tomb of Mitzrayim and extract those nitzotzos of Kedusha, that holy spark that you can see is worthwhile to take with you. And what this Mak of Choshech teaches us, says the Babat Sherebi, is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will miraculously assist Klal Yisrael in that mission to seek and to find and to take those qualities that are positive from every Galus, to search and to find where are they keeping those Rechush Gadol, Nitzotos of Kedusha. Oh, it's over here, it's over there. While we're in Galus, we are given assistance by Kadosh Baruch Hu to find those positive qualities to take with us and to inculcate, or to absorb into our Avodas Hashem. So L'chol B'nei Yisrael HaYa'arbimo Shvosam is that ability that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives each and every Jew to take those good qualities from the Golos with him. And so too said the Baba Shervi, now that we're still in Golos, we're approaching Geula, we're getting closer to the ultimate Geula. The Torah is teaching us with the Mak of Choshech that even while we're still in Golos, we're still in Eretz Mitzrayim, we're still in the Choshech of Galus, but there's Orbe Moshe Vosam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us that Siyata Dishmaya to look and to seek and to learn those positive lessons, take with us those positive qualities that we can find in the Galus as part of the preparation to prepare ourselves for the ultimate Ge'ula and for the ultimate Yetzias Mitzrayim. Thank everyone for coming. Good evening all. Thank you for joining us.